It's time for the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. I'm Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. This morning we will visit with area baseball coaches to see how their teams did this past week and what's on the schedule for this week. Now, the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show right here on Q92. And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports with the final baseball coaches show of the summer. Hard to believe that baseball's wrapping up already here in our Q92 listening area. And we're going to kick things off talking Madison Mallard baseball with manager Matt Munson. And Matt joins us by phone. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Yeah, well, big weekend last weekend in Rosen.
Yeah, big weekend last week in Rosen. You know, we were in the loser go home game against Dumont, but yeah, and all the games that were going on there were well attended. Rosen knows how to do a good job hosting, and fun atmosphere over there.
That's right. Well, you were in an elimination game, correct?
Yep. Yeah, elimination game against Dumont. You know, our game, I believe, it followed the Chicago and Morris game, with Chicago winning the first one to clinch their spot in the state tournament. So. Yeah, I faced Dumont and knew going into Saturday that it would be a game that, you know, we could win, and then the winner facing Clinton. So, you know, we had in the back of our head that it was possible that we could win too. You know, however, we came up on the wrong end of an extra inning game, losing by a score of 7-5.
Okay, got some stats there in front of you, Matt, or how do some of the guys do?
Yeah, well, I guess it was a slow start to the game for us. Fell behind early. Aaron Olson started on the mound for us. Didn't have that good of control in the first inning. Dumont ended up putting together three runs. Later in the game, after not getting much going, we did get two runners on in the sixth inning, and Zach Flickinger also actually hit a three-run home run to tie it 3-3. Got the bench kind of more pumped up than what we had been. It kind of seemed like we had just been going through the motions. However, came back down to the bottom of the sixth inning, and Dumont had scored two more runs to take a 5-3 lead. And then we didn't get much going again until the top of the ninth. And that was one of the cases where you pinch hit a couple guys. Jacob Redepetting got a single, and then Corbin Kells pinch hit, and he got a walk. So it was one of the situations where we put those two guys in, and it actually worked out well for us, as we were able to scratch across two more runs to tie the game. You know, Brandon Hill had came in and pitched relief for us, threw pretty well. However, at the bottom of the 11th inning, did end up giving up a two-run home run, which ended our season for us. But hitting-wise, Brandon Hill was 2-for-5 on the day with a sac fly and RBI. Matt Inger was 1-for-6 with a double and RBI. Cole Bungarden was 1-for-5. Evan Kells was 1-for-5 with a run scored. Garrett Olson was 1-for-5. Zach Flickinger was 1-for-4 with two runs in that big three-run home run. And Seth Haas was 0-for-3 with a walk and a run scored. Pitching, Aaron Olson had started for us. Hopefully it wasn't his last start on the mound. Hopefully talking him out of it, but he has mentioned the R word, or retiring. So hopefully he'll be back next year along with all the other guys.
Yep. Yeah, did that go extra innings, did you say?
Yeah, we had tied it up in the ninth, ended up getting Dumont out in the bottom of the ninth. And we weren't able to scratch anything across in innings 10 or 11, and just ran into trouble in the 11th and gave up the big two-run home run to end the game.
Okay, well, that ended the Mallard season. Let's just wrap it up here a little bit. Matt, overall, your thoughts on the season?
Yeah, overall, I'd say, you know, we made it to the region tournament, which was always one of our goals. You know, I think guys were hoping to have made it further. You know, as far as the regular season goes and playoffs, it just wasn't I guess, how we wanted it to turn out. I guess our league play record during the season was 5-6. Played a few non-league games this year. Went 3-2 in those. So overall, during the regular season, we were 8-8. Ended up playing in the Atlanta Ducks play-in playoffs for the region tournament. Ended up going 1-1 and then 0-2 in the region tournament. So that put our record overall at 9-11. And I guess, like I said, with the non-league games, actually played quite a few bit more games than we have in the past couple years, which I guess guys were probably getting tired during the season, but, you know, we had plenty of guys to make this work this year. So hopefully it's something that we can look forward to doing again next year. So.
Okay, you just want to talk about some of the players and how they did this year?
Yeah, if I can go through that. You know, Evan Kells, he was our DH for us at quite a few of the games. Pretty solid season for us hitting the ball. Kobe Siegert, more so a utility guy, played some outfield. He wasn't at very many games this year. Aaron Olson, one of our starting pitchers. Steven Inger, one of our outfielders, and it also helps quite a bit with the coaching. Seth Haas played second base, pretty good infielder for us, can hit the ball pretty well as well. Matt Inger did some pitching for us, but he is primarily the catcher. Missed a few games this year just because of where he's living. He is the only current Mallard player that lives outside of the Madison, Appleton area, so quite a bit of a drive for him. Brandon Hill was a shortstop and one of our pitchers. Did have a solid season for us. Garrett Olson, third base, also played some shortstop. When Brandon was pitching, he did have probably not quite the year that he'd expected hitting-wise, but a very solid fielder, reliable in the field. Zach Flickinger played left field for us. Strong arm from him, as you get pretty much every year, probably one of the strongest in the Atlanta Ducks. And fun to watch when he's throwing the ball around and can throw people out. You got Corbin Kells. He was from Appleton. I think he was just a senior this year, so didn't see much time for us. Played a little bit of outfield, but primarily be one guy that would just come off the bench with him having the high school and Legion seasons. And then we had Austin Haas in center field. Pretty fast center fielder for us. Peyton Mortensen, same boat as Corbin Kells. One of those guys that had the high school and Legion season, didn't make too many games, but when he did play, did have a solid bat. Jacob Redepetting played first base. Connor Oy did quite a bit of the catching when Matt Inger was gone, one of those catchers that does work hard defensively. And then you got Darby Biergon, one of our pitchers. I don't think he saw the mound at all this year, but he's a guy that I rely on to do quite a bit of the coaching. So Nice to have him around coming to games. And then we had Cole Bungarden, who played some infield for us, as well as got on the mound some this year. Throws knuckleball around a little bit, so hopefully we can get him on the mound in the future. Mm-hmm. And then we had Brandon Bornhorst, one of our starting pitchers, that threw pretty well this year. So that rounded out our final roster, the guys that got in enough games, but we also had Joey Dvorak, Trevor Gierman, Dane Haas, Mason Clark, Leighton Whitnabel, and then Brian Fernholz is back a few times this year. So,
and yourself.
Quite a roster full of people. And myself.
And yourself. How'd your season go?
It was okay. Not quite what I expected. I think I say that every year. So, but I'm going to keep doing it, the managing and all that stuff.
Yep.
So it's one of those things, you're in Madison anyways and you like the game, so you know, hopefully all the other guys that are in Madison keep playing, and hopefully it's not too much of a big deal to do that.
Yep.
I know it takes away from some people's families and all that stuff, but once or twice a weekend, hopefully we can make time for that.
Okay. Well, Matt, I want to thank you for coming down to the studio every Saturday during the summer talking about the Madison Mallard baseball team.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Paul. And
yep.
I guess when we hosted the tournament, I just want to thank all the parents and family and friends that had helped us to take care of hosting, and thanks to Tom Willigalli, Mary Willigalli for running the concessions, and Bart for keeping our field looking great as always.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk to you next summer then, Matt.
All righty. Thank you, Paul.
All right. That's Matt Munson of the Madison Mallards. We'll take a commercial break and be back with more of the Baseball Coaches Show right after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
There's a new energy drink on the block, Venom Energy Drink. Why pay more for less? Drink Venom Energy Drink. Feel the bite, not the sting. Own Venom Energy Drink for just 99 cents. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Right now, all stock Fight electric bulbs are on sale, plus 11% off. Save energy with Fight electric dimmable LED vintage style bulbs. They last up to 10,000 hours. A two-pack is $5.33 after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through August 11th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Landowners, for all your tiling, drainage, and excavating needs, contact Nate Ludvigson of Ludvigson Tiling at 320-226-7022. Ludvigson Tiling provides the following services to landowners: drainage tile installation and ditch cleaning, and much more. Nate gives estimates upon request and all work guaranteed. Contact Nate today. That number again, 320-226-7022. Ludvigson Tiling of Madison, Minnesota. For more information, check them out on the web at ludvigsontiling.com. And welcome back to the Baseball Coaches Show on this Saturday. And we're going to turn our attention to Madison VFW baseball now. And hey, we're going to go down to Texas because that's where Brandon Hill is. Morning, Brandon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Yeah, how's Texas treating you?
It's going good. We're just on our way back now, so it was a fun week, good relaxing week.
All right, a little family vacation, huh?
Yep, we're visiting my aunt and uncle's place. They live in Plano, Texas, so okay. That's where we were for the week.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time visiting us with us this morning on the Baseball Coaches Show, and let's talk about that Madison VFW baseball season, Brandon.
Yeah. We just finished up. We lost in the championship game, like we talked about last week. We finished our season 10-8, and then we finished in second place in District 7 Junior Legion playoffs.
Okay. And the Junior Legion baseball playoffs going on this weekend in Montevideo, and some really good games yesterday, that's for sure.
That looks really exciting over there. I mean, all the field improvements and everything that we've talked about and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. Cool, it looked like some cool ceremonies and everything, and it's turned out to be a pretty good tournament, and I think it's going to get better every year.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, I don't know if you got your roster in front of you there, Brandon, but maybe talk about some of the players and how they did this year.
Yeah, I'd say our leadoff hitter usually was Gavin Fernholz, and Gavin's kind of filled in the role that we were hoping for this summer. He played all over. He played almost every position for us outside of catcher, I think, and that's kind of what we were planning going into the year. He's just a guy who can fit seamlessly into different spots, and once we moved him to the leadoff position, I would say halfway through the year, he really took off there, and he's a good guy to put in the leadoff position, and he pitched a lot of relief for us, and then you saw him in the semifinal game and in the playoffs, came in relief and pitched a really good game, and that was kind of his role all year. And then we had Leighton Whitnable, who did a lot of pitching for us and played shortstop and center field, and he's one of our better sticks throughout the whole lineup. He is really fast on the base paths, and he has a lot of power at the plate, so one thing, you know, he has a lot of extra base hits. Anytime he gets on base, he can steal pretty much any base anytime, and he wasn't thrown out at all this year. And then Tucker Drugsma played first base, third base, catcher and pitcher for us. So depending on who was pitching that day, Tucker had a new position every single day, and that's not always an easy role, but any time that he had to go back there and catch, he did a great job. I know how hard it is to move from an infield position or somewhere else and then have to catch or move to pitcher, and he did a great job of it. And he was another guy who, in the playoffs, he came around really well, and he pitched great and got us in the position that we needed to get into the championship game, and he was probably our most solid hitter all summer. And then we had Trinity Lindner, who plays first base and third base and pitcher, and he was a guy who was not on our team last year. He's actually a 10th grader this year, so this will be his last year of Junior Legion, but we didn't have him last summer, so I didn't really know the guy at all or anything like that, and he was a really great surprise. He was probably our most solid pitcher all summer, and he pitched a lot of tough games. It seemed like every time we were playing a tough team we didn't really know, like a Wilmer or a Bold, he was in there pitching, and he did a great job. Wilmer and Granite Falls, and he had some great wins there. And then we had Mason Clark, who was our catcher. He's just kind of carried on the tradition of Lock Parle. Catchers have always been really solid with Josh Benson, the assistant coach, coaching him. He's kind of really just carried on seamlessly into that. He's a great catcher and did a little bit of pitching this summer, too. He's a guy who's always asking to pitch, and we put him in there, and he pitched some really great games. And by the end of the year, he was hitting really well, and so he turned out he had a really great summer. And then we had our shortstop, Carter Hamlin, one of the better shortstops that you'll see around the area defensively. He's only a ninth grader, so we saw that kind of potential in him this summer to put him at shortstop for a guy in the future in the next few years in varsity, too. And he was everything that we kind of hoped for at the shortstop position, so that was really fun to watch him over there. He's a really smooth fielder, and a lot of times we play other teams, we get a lot of compliments. He's a really good kid over there and a really solid defensive player. Then we had Evan Hagelin, who played left field pretty much every game he was in. Started almost every single game. Evan's a ninth grader, and he actually didn't play baseball in the spring. He's a track guy. He does he's a jumper in the track and field. And that was another guy that was really fun to have. I didn't know anything really about him because he wasn't a baseball guy, and he turned out to be a really fun kid. He absorbed the game really well, and from the beginning of the summer to the end of the summer, he made a lot of improvements, and he turned out to be a really solid hitter at the plate. You know, he's a big, tall lefty, and is kind of a guy that teams feared. Once he made contact with the ball, he could hit it a long way. Then we had Ryder Dugsma, who played second base for us a lot. He's just a guy that, you know, you stick him at second base, and he's just Mr. Reliable over there. He made very few mistakes, and, you know, he's not the biggest kid, but at the plate, he uses everything to his advantage, or he gets the most out of anything that he can, and he gets on base a lot, and hit the ball around a little bit more this summer, so that was really good to see. And he's one of my favorite kids to coach. I mean, he's always really positive. Last summer he had an elbow problem, so he couldn't play almost the entire summer, but he was at every single game doing book and everything like that and cheering on his teammates. And he's a guy who puts in a lot of extra work, so he's just one of the easiest kids to coach. Then we had Austin Bond, who batted the nine spot for us a ton, and another guy who didn't play baseball in the spring. And he would, I would say, made the most improvements out of the entire summer. That was just really fun to watch. At the beginning of the year, you know, it had been 3 years since he'd swung a bat, and you could kind of tell he didn't really totally know what he was doing, you know, at the plate and stuff like that. But by the end of the summer, you know, I think in our last five games, in our playoff games, he was over a 300 hitter. It was just really impressive to watch how much he improved over the summer, and he was a guy we could play in center field. And, you know, a guy who didn't play baseball, you stick him in center field, he did an awesome job, never made any mistakes out there, and that was just another really fun kid to have. And then we had two eighth graders, Avery Whitnable and Caden Fernholz, and Avery actually ended up playing a lot for us in the playoffs and did a really great job. And there's two guys that I'm really excited to have if I'm coaching, or the next couple of years if it's just Bart. Those are two exciting kids to come up, and they made a lot of improvements from the beginning of the summer to the end of the summer, and it's not always easy throwing eighth graders into the lineup playing against 16-year-olds and things like that, but they did a really great job of it. And then a couple other guys, Alex Kellen, when he was there, he did a good job in the outfield, and we'll hopefully get some good commitment from him next year, and he'll see a lot of playing time. And then Blake Wilshager, who played first base for us in our first four games, was our starting first baseman, and he hit really well, and he was really exciting to watch. He's only an eighth grader, and we're really excited for his season, but then he ended up breaking his foot, so that ended the season. And, yeah, so got some – the guys we're losing this year that have played a lot the last 2 years for us, and we're sad to see them go, but there's a lot of potential moving forward too.
Yeah, that's a pretty good roster there, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good kids, and, you know, they love to play baseball.
Yeah, and we talked about it. It was sad to see, you know. It was a great group of kids and a great group of parents we've had the last 2 years, so we were sad to see them go. But yeah, we're also excited for the future, too. And I have to mention, like I mentioned, Bart is one of my assistants in the games, but he does a lot of the, you know, the paperwork and things like that, all the not-so-fun stuff outside of the games. And then my other assistant coach, Brad Fernholz, who's at every single game. He's always positive. He does everything that's asked of him. He, you know, he doesn't get paid or anything like that. We don't require him to do anything, but he comes and does above and beyond. And that's a guy, if we didn't have Brad, I mean, it would be really hard to get through all the all the games and things like that. He does a great job.
Yeah, it takes money to run a summer baseball program. I know there's a lot of people behind the scenes, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. It takes a lot of money, but it takes a lot of time from people who just have to put in the effort and volunteer too. And that's what makes a baseball team and then a baseball community kind of work, like we have at the baseball field in Madison.
All right. Yeah, and the Madison VFW club, they've been supporting the summer baseball, VFW baseball team, since the early 90s. So they do a lot for the kids, don't they?
Yep. Yeah, we play in a junior legion league, like I mentioned, but we always consider ourselves VFW Pulse 1656 baseball because they do all of our funding and they support our team 100%. So.
Okay. All right. Real good, Brandon. Well, hey, thanks for the report from Texas this morning. We don't do that too often.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun. It's nice to have, you know, a little bit of spread across the country a little bit.
There you go. And thanks for coming in the studio during the summer. Tell us a little bit about the Madison VFW baseball team.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Paul.
All right, and we'll talk to you next year.
Yeah, we'll see you, Paul.
All right, safe travels. That's Brandon Hill from Texas this morning, talking about the Madison VFW team. We'll take a break, come back. Hey, we're going over to Rosen to talk with Trent Rademacher right after this.
Moberg Meat Center, 125 St. Olaf Avenue North in Canby, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, you'll find homemade fresh ground seasoned pork sausage, ground pork or Italian sausage, $2.49 a pound. Homemade Polish sausage, smoked bratwurst, smoked cheddar bratwurst, or coarse ground wieners, $4.99 a pound. Applewood smoked sliced slab bacon, $4.99 a pound. Schweigert Brown Schweiger, $2.49 for the 11-ounce size. Find them on Facebook. Give them a call, 507-223-5292, or better yet, just stop on into their downtown Canby store, Moberg Meat Center.
One of the most overlooked parts of a financial plan is how you'd pay for an extended care need. But did you know that long-term care insurance may be one of the most tax-advantaged ways to do this? Not only are benefits paid 100% tax-free, but your premiums may also be deductible. At Newman Long-Term Care, we've been helping people create their plan since 1990. Contact us for a free guide to learn about the state and federal tax advantages that may be available to you. Get yours at NewmanLongTermCare.com. That's NewmanLongTermCare.com.
Insurance Brokers of Minnesota Incorporated is your full-service, local, independent insurance agency. We work with many companies to get you the best rate for your coverage needs. Let us at Wold Agency help you protect everything that is important to you, especially your loved ones. Give us a call at 320-769-4545 and see what we can offer. Or stop in and see Stephanie at their office in Dawson. We work for you.
At First Security Bank in Canby, they'd like to remind area farmers that experience counts. Like farming, ag lending isn't something you learn overnight, and it's not something you can learn from a book either. First Security Bank in Canby has many years of professional experience in agricultural lending and all types of guaranteed loan programs. For farm operating, livestock, or real estate financing, see the experienced staff at First Security Bank of Canby, wishing the Canby Lancers the best of luck. First Security Bank of Canby, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender, and proud sponsor of the L.A. Amundsen Scholarship Program.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. Let's go over to Rosen and talk Rosen Express Baseball with Trent Rademacher. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. Boy, what a big weekend for Rosen last weekend and today, right?
That's correct, yeah. We had, what, 5 games last weekend, and we could have up to 4 more this weekend here, starting today with Dumont and Ortonville play the first game at 1, followed by the winner of that game plays Morris at approximately 4 o'clock, and the winner of that game will be state tournament bound.
All right, along with Chicago, right?
Yep, okay. Chicago clinched last Saturday in the first game on Saturday. Yep. They beat Morris, I believe it was 8-3.
I heard from a number of people what a great crowd you guys had over there last weekend.
Yeah, it was. I mean, when you got a few local teams like Ortonville, Madison, and Roseland all playing there, we're pretty centrally located between all the teams, even with Mineota and Dumont and Morris and Chicago. It ain't that far of a drive, so we get a nice following down there. It's not just Roseland. Ortonville really fouls well down there, and so does Madison.
Yep.
So.
All right.
It's not just Rosen.
All right. Well, did you want to recap what happened last weekend or talk about Rosen?
On Saturday, Rosen played the late game starting at about 4. And, well, we had to actually, maybe it started a little bit later because we had to wait for Madison and Dumont to get done playing 11 innings. And Rosen followed suit, and we played 10 innings. And we were lucky enough to beat Mineota 5-4 in that game.
Wow, Mineota's a good team, aren't they?
Yes, they are. We were up, 3-1 in the eighth inning, I believe, and then we had talked about it the previous week that Durfee kid came up and he smacked a 2-run homer that I don't know if it's come down yet. He hit that one well.
Yeah, he plays for playing for Augustana College, I believe, in Sioux Falls.
Yes, so. I talked to his dad a little bit afterwards, and he was really, he's been there before when Canby had a team, and he was just really, he hasn't been there for a couple of years. He hasn't seen a few additions that we made there, and he just talked about what a fun atmosphere it was, even though his boy got beat, but he goes, it was just fun being here again. So.
Yep, Jerry Durfee's a good guy.
Yes, he is. He's quite the talker, too.
Yeah.
He can maybe kind of walk away from him to get away from him.
Yeah, I enjoyed visiting with Jerry as well. So that eliminated Mineota, right?
That is correct. Okay. So, yep, Rosen went on to play again the next day. But some stats that game I wouldn't mind talking about. Nate Strong walked 3 times and had a big hit there in the 10th inning that put us up a run. And then Evan Benson had a double and a couple hits also. So he had 3 hits that day. And Preston Kraft ended up having a game-winning base hit there in the 10th inning. I know Strong put us up a run, but we needed the second one as well. So Preston had a big hit to put us up 5-3. And Mineota ended up coming back, scoring a run, and I believe left the bases loaded there in the 10th. And we got a pop-up to finish off the game.
Okay, and that final score again was what?
Rosen 5, Mineota 4.
Okay.
Damian Plotsky pitched the first 7 innings and gave up 1 run on, I believe he only gave up 6 hits and he had 4 strikeouts. And Mike Shakey got the win, even though he gave up 2 earned runs, but he held them down after the Durfee home run. I know they scored a run there in the 10th, but that was on an error, so Shakey came in and did what he usually does. He threw strikes and kept us right there. So then we were lucky enough to score a couple of runs. So
okay,
we got the win to move on to the Sunday and face Ortonville.
Okay, and another good crowd Sunday?
Yes, Ortonville brought quite a few people and Rosen brought a lot. It was a full house there for that game. That was the second game of the day there. And Rosen, Ortonville scored in the first and second. I think we had a clean third, Rosen, defensively. And Rosen came back, and we were down 3-1 heading to the fourth. And Nate Nelson came up and smacked a big 2-run homer off Chris Fellows, which it's not easy coming back on him when you're down 3-0 early in the game. But Rosen managed to tie her back up at 3 apiece. And the fourth inning, it didn't go very well for Rosen. We gave up 8 runs, and the bad part was only 1 of them was earned, so it was kind of deflating, but we had a good season. And Ortonville ended up winning that game 12-5.
Okay.
Chris Fellows pitched another very good game against us. So
yeah.
On that day hitting, Preston Kraft had a base hit. Nate Nelson had 2 hits, including a home run and 2 RBIs. Travis Rademacher had a couple hits. Tyler Ottleman had a double. And Jacob Motz, who doesn't get to play a whole lot, ended up getting in there and got a couple at bats and got a big hit for Rosen.
So, oh, good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a chance for some of those younger kids that don't get to play a whole lot that got in some region games, and they were pretty excited about it. And on the day pitching that day, Kyle Sachs pitched 4 innings, gave up 10 runs, but only one was earned. And then Wyatt Halverson, another young kid from Madison over there, the locals, I'm guessing, heard that name. He pitched 4 innings and only gave up 1 earned run, so he kind of held them in check. We didn't want to get 10-run ruled, and Wyatt came in there and did a very nice job.
Oh, good.
And Evan Benson came in and pitched 1 clean inning for us, so that was the pitching stats there.
Yeah, those are some younger guys playing for
us. Yeah, it is, and it was... Yeah, it wasn't just Wyatt and Evan. There was Isaac Ottelman, a local kid from Rosen, got in there. Jacob Motz, Derek Rademacher, who had missed 4 or 5 weeks with military boot camp, was back, and he got a couple hits in that game. So we got everybody in there. Even an older guy, Aaron Ottelman, went and caught 1 inning for us, and he's been around playing for 15 years, and he was like, yeah. He goes, I haven't played a whole lot this year. He goes, I'll go catch an inning. It was nice. It gave some of them older guys that have played both days and back-to-back like that, it gave him a break. And
right.
He was a good trooper about it. And he actually went up and got a hit, too. First at bat all year.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a couple kids that I want to talk about. Jacob Motz and Isaac Ottelman. There's two kids that don't get to play a whole lot for us, but I tell you what, they do more work than anybody that starts on the team. They're first ones there. They do anything I ask for them, from getting the tarps to getting the mound, the batter's box ready. They collect during the region tournament. They work the concession stand. You need kids like that on the team, and we got them some at-bats and got them some playing time, but they do plenty of work behind the scenes that a lot of the starters don't do, and you can't have a team without kids like that.
Right. Now, who are their names again, Trent?
Jacob Motz and Isaac Ottelman. Them are two kids that really stuck out all year that I don't know if either one missed a game. I think they're at every game. And
wow.
They didn't get to play all of them, but I tell you what, they were always there, and
they love the game of baseball.
Coach,
then,
the
huh?
Guy that kind of runs the team. I appreciate those two kids.
They got to love the game of baseball, then, huh?
That's right, and yeah, they do. I think they like being part of it. They like the camaraderie, and they kind of throw their zingers in there once in a while. At some of the guys that screw up, they get to play once in a while. So
right.
Even fun when they kind of say something.
Right. Right. Okay, well, that ended the Rosen Express season then?
Yeah, it did, but let me tell you what a night and day season that we had from the year past. I believe we only won 2 games last year, and we ended up in Lando Docks overall with the regular season and in the tournament. We ended up being 7-7 in all of Lando Docks league games, and we ended up, I believe, being 8-8 on the year. So it was a nice comeback year for the Express, and sounds we got everybody back, so
well, that's
should be
awesome.
Another fun year coming up in 2019.
All right, great. And you got just recap what you got going on today again?
Today in Rosen at 1:00 we got the Dumont Saints facing the Ortonville Rocks, and that is an elimination game. And then follow that, the winner of that game, the Dumont and Ortonville game, at approximately 4:00 here in Rosen will face Morris, and the winner of that game is state tournament bound.
Okay.
On Sunday, I believe it starts at 11. Don't quote me on that. It might be noon.
Okay. All right.
But the winner of the Morris/winner yep. of Ortonville and Dumont plays the Chicago Coyotes. So
basically,
there
for
could be an if necessary game in there too, and that one would follow approximately 15 to 20 minutes after the first game.
On Sunday, okay.
On Sunday, yep.
All right. Yeah, get on over there and hit the concession stand, the beer stand in Rosen today and tomorrow, and it's great atmosphere, town team ball atmosphere over there in Rosen, that's for sure. So.
Oh, yeah, and these are some big games coming up, so any close play, you're going to get an argument from both sides. So it will be heated.
All right, that's good. All right, hey, Trent, I just want to thank you for coming on the Baseball Coaches Show all summer long. Appreciate it. Keeping us up to date with what's happening over there in Rosen.
Yeah, we thank you too, Paul, for calling us all the time. I know a lot of people on the team and the fans listen to it every Saturday morning, and the fans really appreciate it. I know I was talking to, we had it on there last Saturday, and Chicago was warming up, and they're like, that's kind of nice that Madison does that. And I was like, and the guys from Chicago were saying, boy, I wish something like that in Morris would be done.
Okay, so, awesome. Appreciate it. Yeah, you really mean you had us on the PA system?
We had you on the PA system, and they were, the Chicago's known for showing up pretty early, and they heard all of it. They heard VFW to Matt Munson, and they heard Rosen, and they were, all of them came over and said, that's a nice thing they got there in Madison.
Oh, we try to cover everything.
And we thank you here in Roseland.
All right, I know Dick Newman really appreciated being over there last Saturday, calling the games. He loves doing town team baseball as well. So.
Yep, and we thank Dick for coming over. Yep. I know I never got a chance. I know my dad and my brother Robin got it to go on the air for a few innings with Dick. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next summer then.
All right, thank you much, Paul.
Yep, and thank you, Trent.
We'll talk to you later.
Yep, that's Trent Rademacher of the Rosen Express. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Baseball Coaches Show after this.
Time is one thing you can't get back. That's why United Prairie Bank provides services that make bank visits a chore no more. If you're tired of running to this bank or that bank for personal or business, consolidate your time with United Prairie Bank. Remote deposit and mobile deposit allow you to bank remotely without all the trips. Banking is important to us, but we know it can be a time killer for you. Try remote deposit and mobile deposit from United Prairie Bank. We'll help you get there. Member FDIC.
It's the Stevens County Fair and more, starting Tuesday, August 7th, running through Sunday, August 12th. 6 full days of the Stevens County Fair, celebrating 145 years this year. There's free admission, free parking, and free entertainment. There'll be fireworks and delicious food on the fairgrounds. Check them out on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter, and their website for a complete list of events at StevensCountyFair.org. That's the Stevens County Fair in Morris, August 7th through August 12th. See you there.
And welcome back to the Baseball Coaches Show. Hey, we're going to go over to Montevideo right now because the State Division II Junior Legion Baseball Tournament is being held there. And on the phone with us from the Montevideo baseball field is my son, Brandon, who is the director of the state tournament this year. And Brandon, boy, a big day yesterday, a big weekend for Montevideo.
Yeah, a really big weekend. We had a great day. We had good weather over here, a little warm, but I'll take warm weather over rain any day.
Yeah. Well, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about the preparation for this state tournament in Montevideo, and you had some great games yesterday.
Yeah, so we've been planning for about a year for this tournament, and so got here, and we were very well prepared, I think, and we've had lots of good comments. You know, we throw the tournament prep on with a big field renovation as well, so we had two really big projects going on here simultaneously, and things came together really nice. And you know, we have seven sub-states around the state that are sending teams here today and or yesterday and today, so we're in day number two.
Yeah, and who are those teams, Brandon?
Yeah, so I'll just run through the scores from yesterday so you can hear the teams here.
Okay.
Sacred Heart McRae is a local team. They came out of the Southwest sub-state. They took on Aiken at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, kicked off the tournament. Hung tight with Aiken until about the sixth inning, and Aiken ended up scoring a couple runs and beating them 5-1. And then in the 12:30 game, another local team out of our central sub-state, Starbucks, defeated Cook County from Grand Marais, Minnesota, and Silver Bay up in that area. They defeated them 4-0. And then we had our opening ceremonies, which we can talk about here after the games. But and Holy Family defeated Caledonia 7-4. That was the 4:20 game. And last night, the host Montevideo ended up playing International Falls. And I tell you what, International Falls threw a good pitcher at Montevideo and blanked him 5-0. So that'll set up matchups for today. We have Sacred Heart, Cook County getting ready to go here. They're just taking infield. I think young players are meeting out there right now. That's at 10 o'clock, and then following that, Montevideo will take on Caledonia. And then this afternoon, the winner's bracket, Aiken and Starbuck, will go at 3:30, and then Holy Family Catholic and International Falls will play at 6 o'clock.
Okay, and then the tournament continues tomorrow with the championship games, huh?
Yep, so championship Sunday, so we'll kick off at 10 a.m. again with the Consolation Championship. And then at 12:30, we'll have the third place game, and then the state championship will take place at 3:30. So, you know, we're expecting some big crowds again today and tomorrow as well.
Yeah, let's talk about the opening ceremonies that you held yesterday afternoon. Talk a little bit about that. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you go to like the senior state tournament, they hold a banquet usually on Thursday night prior to the tournament. You know, we kind of talked, we didn't really want to do that, so we decided let's do an opening ceremony instead. And we had all the teams lined up on the base paths. It actually turned out we had a drone flying over, took an awesome picture of the teams on the base paths with all their different colors. And I think the picture was taken while the color guard was out there. And then we also had the Legion Riders in the outfield as well along the fence. Had James and John Gallagher, sons of Jeff Gallagher, the late Jeff Gallagher, come and throw out the opening pitch for us. And I tell you what, I had a lot of really good comments about the opening ceremonies, and people just really saying that they really liked that, and it was a sight to see.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there, wasn't there?
Yeah, you get all eight teams here, and all those moms and grandmas and grandpas that want to take pictures, and they were lining the fence, taking pictures of their teams out there, and it really was a sight to see.
Take us behind the scenes a little bit. It takes a lot of volunteers. That's what I noticed last night when I was over there. A lot of Montevideo volunteers helping out at the state tournament.
Yeah, Thursday night we were sitting here late at night, and we just said, hey, let's count how many people it's going to take to run this tournament. And we counted 120 volunteers that are going to be here throughout the weekend.
Wow.
Running the tournament. Yeah, and so, you know, we had some families really step up, our community really stepped up to support this. You can't say anything more about the committee that we've had working, and our families and everything. So it is a family affair, and it's a community affair, and I think we've showcased that here in Montevideo this weekend.
That's right, and also got to give a shout out to you, Brandon. You received the Dr. Fish Dr. Farish Award. He's originally from Litchfield, I believe, and had a lot to do with District 7 American Legion Baseball, and congratulations on your award that was presented to you before the Montevideo game yesterday.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's a humbling experience to be on the same list with some of those Hall of Famers, Jay Katzenmeyer on there, and you got Richter on there as well, and some of Randy Schaub and some of my good friends are on there as well, so it is very humbling to be a part of that list.
Yeah, and I had a nice visit with Randy Schaub. He's the director of the American Legion, is it?
So Randy Schaub is the, used to be the old District 7 director, but he is a state director. He sits on the state board. We also have Tom Coombe here from up in Ely. He's a state board member as well. They're the ones that are in charge of running the tournament, and we're going to have the director of Legion Baseball, Mike Perry, will be in attendance tomorrow, so that's he's really supportive of what we're doing here in Division II Junior Legion.
Yeah, I should add to our listeners that Division II Junior Legion is young. You started it a few years ago. Talk about that.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, Randy Schaub and I kind of had this whim and this idea that we need to create a league or a division for small schools in the summer because. Knock VFW baseball, but they only had one division, and the divide is only getting bigger with our small schools and our big schools in this area, and so we parted ways with VFW baseball, and the Legion State Board was 100% supportive of what we're doing, and so basically everybody that's here is under 400 enrollment, 10 through 12, and so it's small school baseball, and I was just talking to Cook County right before the game here today, and they were just blown away by, the opportunity to just be here. And so that's really what it's about.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Cook County fans. They're from Grand Marais, right?
Cook County and yep. Grand Marais. And, International Falls brought a good crowd. And We have Sacred Heart playing here right now, and they're, again, about four or five deep standing watching their team. So Sacred Heart really traveled really well, and I expect Starbuck to do the same today.
All right. All right. Well, congratulations on hosting the Division II State Junior Legion Baseball Tournament. Where is it next year, Brandon?
Next year will be in St. Charles. So they were actually up here yesterday. I had an opportunity to meet with the guys that are running that tournament next year, and you know, just told them some of the things that, you know, what would we do different, and what are the things we did well, and things that they're going to copy, and things that they're not going to do and change. And it was they were impressed with our opening ceremony. They said, "I think we're going to copy that." So
okay, great, great. Well, have a fun day today and tomorrow at the state baseball tournament. We'll see you this afternoon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That's Brandon Ramo, the director of the State Junior Legion Baseball Tournament from Montevideo there. So head on over to Montevideo and watch some outstanding Junior Legion baseball teams today and tomorrow. Take a break, and we'll come back and wrap up the Baseball Coaches Show for another summer.
Ag Processing is proud of the positive impact that they have on our area. AGP provides a soybean market for 310 local cooperatives and their 300,000 farmer owners. Supplies soybean meal to hundreds of businesses and the poultry and livestock producers they serve. Supplies feed to over 2,000 private and cooperative dealers and their livestock producer customers in the United States and Canada. Being the third largest soy oil refiner, it easily could be that every person in the USA consumes some AGP soy oil each year. AGP Ag Processing Incorporated.
Live the legend at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Throw axes with your friends at the all-new Battle Axe Pub. Visit Magic the Live Unicorn, hug a kangaroo, pet an African porcupine, or hand-feed a grape to a ring-tailed lemur. Soar over the crowd at the Wizards Flight School Zipline. Have a blast at the new Bow Blast competition. 16 stages of exciting and hilarious entertainment. Plus mermaids, fairies, Vikings, and more. Full contact live armored jousting. 50 free family-friendly activities. Endless shopping at more than 250 different artisans. And you can enjoy craft beer and feast like a king. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Family fun for one and all. Weekends and Labor Day through September 30th. Discount tickets at Super America, Cub, Menards, Dunn Brothers, and at RenaissanceFest.com.
All right, Paul Ramo back here in the studios, and that will be the last baseball coaches show of the summer. Dick Newman will be coming up shortly in the next couple Saturdays with the Lockbarrow Valley coaches show. Thanks for listening once again to the Baseball Coaches Show. Just remember, a lot of baseball yet to be played today and tomorrow in Rosen. And the Region 9C tournament continues. Dumont will take on Ortonville at 1 o'clock this afternoon in Rosen. The winner of that game will play Morris for the right to go to the state amateur baseball tournament. And you just heard Brandon Ramo mention the State Junior Legion baseball tournament being held today and tomorrow in Montevideo. So you can catch some games today and tomorrow. And then once again, thanks for listening to the Baseball Coaches Show for another summer. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. Tune in next week at 9 o'clock with more interviews with area baseball coaches right here on Q92. See you next Saturday morning. Have a great day.
Great music for Rosen, Revillo, Odessa, and Corral. This is Q92, KLQP-FM.
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out.
Tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. So in the locker she wanted to stay.
2, 3, 4. Stick around, we'll tell you more.
She was afraid to come out of the open. Blanket around her she wore. She was afraid to come out in the open. And so she sat bundled up on the shelf.
2, 3, 4. Tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. And itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. So in the blanket she wanted.
Stick around, we'll tell you more.
Now she's afraid to come out of the water. And I wonder what she's gonna do. Now she's afraid to come out of the water. And her poor little girl's turning blue.
2, 3, 4. Tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore.